نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue our discussion of the essay entitled At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajaratul Iman by Sheikh Al-Allama Abdurrahman Ibn Nasir Sa'adi rahimahullah. Previously, we have discussed in the first two sections of this book the definition of Al-Iman according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, based upon the evidences from the Quran and authentic Sunnah. And in the second section, we talked about those things from which al-Iman is derived, the things that increase one's Iman or strengthen one's Iman, the branches of Iman. And in this section, we have begun to discuss the last section, the topic of the fawaid, fawaid al-Iman wa thamaratuhu. What are the benefits of Iman and its fruits? This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to start with one of the most important benefits of Iman and one of the greatest of its fruits, as Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi rahimahullah says, وَمِنْهَا يعني from the fruits or benefits of Iman, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ الْكَامِلَ يَمْنَعُ مِنْ دُخُولِ النَّارِ وَالْإِيمَانَ وَلَوْ قَلِيلًا يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الْخُلُودِ فِيهَا. That the perfect Iman, al-Iman al-Kamil, the perfect Iman, meaning that Iman which is not only the root of Iman, the asl of Iman, which is the statement of La ilaha illallah. The one who says it, knowing its meaning and believing in it, that is the asl of Iman. Al-Iman al-Kamil, it means that the person has pronounced the statement of La ilaha illallah, knowing its meaning and believing in it, and then acting in accordance with it. Bringing the branches of Iman, those things which perfect and increase Iman. That is, from the obligatory duties and avoiding that which Allah has prohibited. So the Shaykh, he says, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ الْكَامِلِ يَمْنَعُ مِنْ دُخُولَ النَّارِ. That the perfect Iman, the complete Iman, that which is in the heart and spoken on the tongue and acted upon, that Iman, it prevents a person from entering the fire. It prevents them from being touched by the fire. وَالْإِيمَانْ وَلَوْ قَلِيلًا يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الْخُلُودِ فِيهَا. And then he said, not only that, but al-Iman, even if it was a little of Iman, even if it was a small amount of Iman, even the least of Iman, it prevents a person from permanent residence in the fire. It prevents al-Khulud fin-Nar. The person who has al-Iman al-Kamil, they will not enter the fire. هَذَا الْإِيمَانِ. This is the Iman that prevents a person from دُخُولَ النَّارِ, from entering the fire at all. As for the least of Iman, however small it may be, even it has benefits And its benefit is that the one who possesses it would not remain in the hellfire forever. It prevents them from al-khulud finnar. The Shaykh says, in explaining what he means by al-imam, al-iman al-kamil, he says that the one who believes with the imam, the iman that necessitates or requires or that consists of fulfilling the wajibat, the one who has iman, who believes with the iman, that is the fulfillment of the obligatory duties and the abandonment of the muharramat, the prohibited things. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلَ النَّارِ Then that one would never enter the fire. So here the Shaykh has defined al-iman al-kamil as being the iman in which a person fulfills the wajibat, the obligatory duties. And that person avoids the prohibited matters. This is al-iman al-kamil, prevents a person from entering the fire. Then he said, and this is as it has been reported in the authentic hadith, mutawatiran, by innumerable chains of narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning this matter. And likewise, it has been reported, mutawatiran, by innumerable chains of narration, that the person who has in his heart anything of iman, walau yasiran, even if it is very little, whoever has in his heart any iman whatsoever, أَنَّهُ لَا يُخَلَّدُ فِي النَّارِ He would never remain in the hellfire permanently. And these two points have been mentioned by many of the scholars of Sunnah, and from amongst those who have mentioned this point in reference to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ That verily Allah has prohibited the fire to touch the one who says, La ilaha illallah, yabtaghi bidhalika wajha Allah. The person who says it, seeking or desiring, intending to see the face of Allah, to earn the reward of Allah, to earn the pleasure of Allah. Whoever says this sincerely for the sake of Allah, then Allah has prohibited the fire upon him. The one who says it mukhlisan, with ikhlas, then Allah will prevent the fire from touching him. And the scholars said concerning this statement, that Allah has prohibited the fire upon such a person. He says, this tahrim, Allah is prohibiting the fire from touching such a person. He said, it is of two types. Tahrim dukhul wa tahrim khulud. Tahrim dukhul, yani the whoever says this word of la ilaha illallah sincerely for the sake of Allah, then that person would be prevented from entering the fire. This is in reference to the person who dies on tawheed and who doesn't commit the major sins, nor do they consistently, continuously commit minor sins. That person would be prevented from entering the fire. The person who dies on tawheed, and they avoid the major sins outright, and they don't even commit the minor sins consistently or regularly. The second type of a tahrim is tahrim khulud. That is the prohibition of remaining in the fire eternally. And this is in reference to the sinners from the muwahideen, the sinners from the people of Tawheed, who died on Tawheed, but they committed many sins. And this has been indicated also in mutawatir hadith, authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning ash-shafa'a, the intercession for the ahlul kaba'ir, the people who committed major sins. That the people who committed major sins from which they didn't repent, then if Allah doesn't forgive them, and He forgives whomever He wills anything less than shirk, then they would be punished for some time as Allah wills according to justice. But they would come out of the fire, the Ahl Kabair, the major sins from the Muwahideen, from the people of Tawheed, they would come out of the fire by various means, and from amongst those means is Ash-Shafa'ah, the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Shafa'ah of the believers or the martyrs or whoever Allah allows to intercede, from whom He is pleased with according to His will. So this is a very important issue, that the prohibition of entering the fire is of two types. It is tahrim ad-dukhul, the prohibition of entering the fire at all, and that is only for those who died on tawheed and who have avoided the major sins outright, and even the minor sins, they have not engaged in them but little. As for tahrim Khulud, it means that the person who died on Tawheed would be prohibited from remaining in the hellfire eternally. And this has been indicated that the one who even has a little iman would not remain in the fire eternally. Al-Khulud, Khalidan Fiha, this has been indicated in the hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim fi Sahihain, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, in which it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَفِي قَلْبِهِ وَزْنُ شَعِيرَةٍ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. That the one who says لا إله إلا الله, having in his heart even the weight of khair, of a sha'ira, a barley seed, شَعِيرَةٍ مِنْ خَيْرٍ, he said that person would come out of the fire. And likewise, the one who would come out of the fire who says La ilaha illallah wa fi qalbihi waznu burratin min khair, yani the weight of a seed of wheat, wa yakhruj min an-nar, and likewise the one would come out of the fire who says La ilaha illallah wa fi qalbihi waznu dharratin min khair, even the one who has in his heart the weight equal to a small ant, or whatever is the least of what we can imagine in weight of khair, that person come out of the fire. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, it is reported that he said, قَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, يعني Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari, he said, قَالَ أَبَانُ حَدَّثَنَا قَتَادَ حَدَّثَنَا وَقَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَنَسْ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ مَكَانَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said that the hadith has also been reported authentically from Aban, from Qatada, from Anas, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in place of the word min khairin, that the hadith was narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min imanin, that whoever has the weight of a barley seed or a wheat or a small ant equal that weight in khair, and in this narration from iman, that that person would come out of the fire. This hadith has been narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in the chapter that he entitled Ziyadatul Iman, Babu Ziyadatul Imani wa Nuqsanihi. That is the chapter entitled The Increase in Iman and Its Reduction or Defectiveness. The Increase in Iman and Its Defectiveness. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى, and we increased them in guidance. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا, and that those who believe will be increased in iman, those who have iman will have iman added to their iman. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that today I have perfected for you your deen. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, فَإِذَا تَرَكَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْكَمَالِ فَهُوَ نَاقِسْ. That whoever, يعني اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, today I have perfected, completed your deen for you. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, so whoever has left anything from perfection, from the perfection of the deen, who has fallen short in anything, then that person's deen would be naqis, it would be defective. It would be naqis. So here Al-Imam Bukhari, he used these evidences as a proof that increases, and that it also can decrease or be defective. In any case, he narrated under this chapter the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even the one whose iman is defective to the extent that it is not equal to more than a barley seed or a seed or wheat, a grain of wheat, or even a small ant of the smallest of ants, even the one who has that much iman, he would come out of the fire as Allah wills, and he would not remain in it permanently. Likewise, it has been reported, yani a similar meaning concerning this, the issue of the one who would not enter the fire at all, and the one who would enter the fire but would not remain in it because of iman, though it was an insignificant, small amount of iman. It has also been reported authentically in the Sahih from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I bear witness. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. وأني رسول الله. And that I am the messenger of Allah. يلقى الله بهما عبد يلقى الله لا يلقى الله بهما عبد غير شاك فيهما إلا دخل الجنة. That no one of the servants of Allah would meet Allah with these two statements, the shahada of la ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. No one of the servants of Allah would meet Allah with these two statements, غير شاك فيهما, without having any doubt, yani being certain of them, إلا دخل الجنة, except that he would definitely enter the paradise. And the scholars said that also it has been authentically reported in the Sahih of Muslim, a different wording of this hadith, لا يلقى الله بهما عبد غير شاك فيحجب عن الجنة, that no one would meet Allah with these two statements without having any doubt, yani being certain of them, and then he would be prevented from the Jannah. No one who meets Allah with these words would be prevented from the Jannah. However, likewise, this has to be explained, and the meaning of it is that the one who would be prevented from the Jannah is also of two types, hajab da'im wa hajab mu'akkat. There is a hajab, the person being prevented from the Jannah, which is permanent, and there is hajab mu'akkat, that is temporarily being prevented from the Jannah, and the one who is permanently prevented from the Jannah, it is the kuffar. Whoever meets Allah in that condition of kufr, then they would be permanently prevented from the Jannah, whereas those who die on Tawheed, but they have committed some sins from which they didn't repent, then they might be temporarily prevented from the Jannah. In this case, it becomes clear to us that whoever has even the least of iman, with whatever sins that they have committed, other than shirk, whoever dies on Tawheed, then that person would never remain permanently in the hellfire, nor would that person be permanently prevented from the Jannah. And this shows the greatness of al-iman, even a small amount, and the fruit of that iman that is sincere, that is sahih, that is correct, according to the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah. Then the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, وَمِن ثَمَرَاتُ الْإِيمَانِ, and also from the fruits of iman, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that indeed Allah defends the believers. يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ جَمِيعَ مَكَارِحِ وَيُنَجِّيهِمْ مِنَ الشَّدَائِدِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect the believers, He would defend them from every detestable thing, and He would save them from every difficulty or affliction or calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would defend the mu'mineen. That is one of the fruits of iman, al-mudafa'a min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 38, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلُّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that indeed Allah defends those who believe, the people of iman. The Shaykh says in the explanation of this verse, he says, the meaning of Allah defending the believers, it means يُدَافِعُ عَنْهُمْ كُلَّ مَكْرُوهٍ, that He defends and protects them from every detestable thing, every hated thing that they dislike. And He defends them from the evil of the shayateen al-ins, or shayateen al-jinn, from the shayateen from the human beings, as well as the shayateen from the jinn. And He defends them from their enemies. And in his tafsir of the Qur'an, when he mentioned this verse, he said that which is similar to it, that Allah defends the believers from every detestable thing. And He defends them due to their iman, from every evil, the disbelievers, and from the evil of the whispering of shaitan, and from the evil of their own selves, and the evil of consequences of their deeds. And then He removes from them, or takes some of the weight from them at the time when the detestable things descend or fall upon them, afflict them, that which they cannot bear. Yani He relieves them of that which is detestable. If it befalls them and they can't bear it, then Allah relieves them from it. And He reduces from them as much as possible. As much as is possible, He reduces from them that thing when it is too difficult for them. And then He said that every believer, he will have to some extent, some amount of this mudafa'a, the defense of Allah, and this virtue of Allah's defense, he will have it in accordance with his iman. In accordance with his iman. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not protected us from afflictions and calamities befalling us, or that which we dislike, or from the shayateen, from jinns and in, from the evil of ourselves and the consequences of our evil deeds, it is because of our own iman. The defense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people of iman is in accordance with their iman. The Shaykh said, فَالْمُسْتَقِلْ وَمُسْتَكْفِرْ فَالْمُسْتَقِلْ وَمُسْتَكْفِرْ. Therefore, if Allah's defense of the believers is in accordance with their iman, so there will be some who will seek little of the defense of Allah, because their iman, they don't attend to it. And there are some who will get much of the defense of Allah, because they attend to, and they protect, and they strengthen their iman. فمستقل, some would get little, ومستكثير, and some will get much. It is in accordance with one's iman. Then the Shaykh says that also from the mudafa'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that Allah defends them from the makari, the detestable, hated, disliked things, qabla nuzuliha, before they descend on the believer. And keeps them from that thing afflicting them at all. And likewise, yarafa'uha aw yukhaffifuha ba'da nuzuliha. And sometimes he raises it up from them after it has afflicted them. He removes it from them, or he reduces it after it has befallen them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defending the believers. Sometimes it is protecting them from the affliction or the thing that they dislike befalling them. And sometimes after it has befallen them due to their iman, he raises it up and removes it from them, or he reduces it. And all of this is in accordance with one's iman. Then the Shaykh mentions from the Quran the incident of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That remember the incident or the case of Dhunnun, yani Yunus alayhi salam, when he went away angry, thinking that Allah will not get him, that Allah will not punish him or afflict him with some affliction for his abandoning his people and abandoning his mission. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Then he called out in the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the sea, and the darkness of the fish that he was swallowed by, saying, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except you. Subhanaka. Yani at-tasbih, it is the declaration of the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is perfect. And it is the negation of any imperfection to Allah, whatever has been attributed to Him, of falsehood or any kind of defect or shortcoming. It is the negation of any kind of defect or shortcoming, or whatever has been attributed to Allah that is not suitable for His greatness and His glory and His majesty. He said, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك. That indeed Allah is the one who is perfect, who has no imperfections. إني كنت من الظالمين. That I was of those who have transgressed the bounds, who have يعني committed ظلم by angrily abandoning his people and leaving them. The Shaykh says that this has been mentioned concerning what the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam has fallen into, and that he called out in the darkness, saying, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Then we answered him, yani answered the call of Yunus, yani answered the call to help him and to save him. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. And we have rescued him or saved him from the distress that he was in. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, in the same way, we rescue and we save the people of iman, the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Yunus alayhi salam called out to him, he said, then we answered him. We answered his call, his plea, and from the distress that he was in. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, in the same way, we answer the call of the believers and we save them from their distress. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verses 87 and 88. And then the Shaykh said, إِذَا وَقَعُوا فِي الشَّدَائِدِ, yani if the believers fall into distress, into affliction or into any kind of calamity or hardship. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them as He saved Yunus alayhi salam. Then the Shaykh mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'awatu akhi Yunus ma da'a biha makrubun illa farraja Allahu anhu qurbatahu. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Da'awatu akhi Yunus, yani the supplication or the dua of my brother Yunus, yani his brother in prophethood, Yunus alayhi salam, he said, ma da'a biha, nobody has supplicated or called on Allah by this da'wah, this dua of Yunus, no one who is makroob, who has been afflicted some calamity or distress or difficulty, no one who has been afflicted or who is in distress, has called on Allah by the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, illa farrajallahu anhu kurbatahu, except that Allah relieved him from that distress or that difficulty that he was in. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the da'wah or the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, it was la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This hadith is sahih. It is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i, and likewise An-Nasa'i in Amal al-Layl, al-Yawm wal-Layla, and al-Hakim, who declared it to be sahih, and Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah agreed with him. And likewise, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani declared this hadith to be hasan. Then the Shaykh mentions that which is related to the defense of the believers due to their iman. But here he mentioned the defense of the believers due to their taqwa. Yani also from the fruits and the benefits of al-iman, and that iman which entails a taqwa, as the Shaykh previously mentioned, that a taqwa, it is the perfection of iman. Iman is perfected through taqwa. The person who has iman, if they avoid that which Allah has prohibited, and if they fulfill that which Allah has commanded, this is a taqwa, and this is the perfection or the completion of iman. The Shaykh says the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Talaq, chapter 65, and he mentioned verses 2 and 4, and these verses are very, very important. Even though they are revealed, as the Shaykh says in his tafsir, even though they were revealed in reference to divorce, however, the meaning of them is applicable in general. He said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, meaning, whoever has taqwa of Allah, meaning, they have taqwa of Allah by fulfilling that which iman requires and that which it necessitates. By fulfilling that which is required and necessitated by iman. Whoever, يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, by fulfilling the requirements of iman. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, then Allah will make a way out for him from every difficulty or hardship or distress. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, whoever, this is a condition, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever fulfills that condition, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, then Allah will make a way out for him from his difficulty, from every difficulty or hardship. Here the Shaykh says the meaning of this is that he would make a way out from him, from everything that is hard or difficult or stressful for the people. Then he said in another verse, in the same chapter, verse 4, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that whoever has taqwa of Allah, this is a condition, whoever has taqwa, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, then Allah would make ease in his matter, in his affair. Allah would make some ease for him if there is difficulty in it. The Shaykh says here, فَالْمُؤْمِنْ الْمُتَّقِي, the mu'min, the muttaqi, the one who has iman and taqwa. And these are the two characteristics, as the Shaykh mentioned previously, they are the two characteristics which are the characteristics of the awliya of Allah. The one who has iman and the one who has taqwa. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, the one who has iman and the one who has taqwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy his matter for him. And Allah makes easy for him to reach facility or ease. Allah makes easy for him to reach that which is the ease. And likewise, Allah removes him from difficulty and makes things which are difficulty easy for him. And Allah makes a way out, an escape for him from every difficulty. And from every hardship, He makes a way out for him, and He gives him provisions from where he did not imagine. The Shaykh said that the proofs Of this are many in the Quran and Sunnah. In these verses also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these two verses, but in the verses surrounding them, He has also mentioned, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him from distress or difficulty. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And the Shaykh has hinted at this in the end of his comments here. And Allah would also give him provisions from where he doesn't imagine. And he would be provided by Allah from where he doesn't imagine, in a way that he can never expect. He doesn't know where it will come from. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also said, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make his affair easy for him. And then he said, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will expiate his sins for him and will increase and multiply and magnify his reward for him. The Shaykh has said, not in this essay, but in his tafsir concerning these verses, some extra points of benefit. He said that concerning this verse, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for him a way out. He said that when we know that divorce, talaq, that it may cause a person to fall into some difficulty or stress, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the person to have taqwa if they fell into this difficulty and distress due to divorce, because these verses are revealed about divorce. He said, so Allah ordered the person to have taqwa, and then Allah promised that whoever has taqwa in this matter of divorce, which is under discussion in these ayats, and in any other matter, then Allah will make a way out for him and give him relief from it. Yani the Shaykh says here, fit talaq wa ghayrihi. Yani meaning that these verses, though they were revealed in reference to divorce, they are not limited to that. And then the Shaykh says clearly that this ayat, the text of it indicates that it is talking about divorce and returning the person's wife. Yani after they have divorced her, to come back together again, Allah making a way out for them and ease for them from that which they have fallen into in divorce. He said, فَإِنَّ الْعِبْرَ بِعُمُومَ اللَّفْظِ. Yani that this is a principle in usul, that the lesson or the point that is to be taken from these ayats are in the general meaning of the expression. In the general meaning. It is not limited to divorce, but the general meaning that is understood, as the scholars of usul said, Al-ibra bi'umum al-lafz, la bi-khusus al-sabab. Al-ibra bi'umum al-lafz, la bi-khusus al-sabab. That means that the point or the lesson that is to be drawn from these verses, it is bi'umum al-lafz. It is from the general meaning of the ayat. La bi-khusus al-sabab. It is not limited to the special matter or the reason for which it has been revealed. And this is very important, as we know that the scholars of the people of Sunnah often use as a proof an ayat that has been revealed specifically for something else, and they use its general meaning as a proof for the basic principles in Islam that have been established in the Quran or in the Sunnah. So this is a qa'ida, that the point or the principle, it is to be taken from the general expression and not to be limited to the specific reason for which the ayah or the hadith has come from. Then the Shaykh says, so everyone who has taqwa of Allah and who sticks to seeking His pleasure in all of his situations, then Allah would reward him in this world and in the next life. And from those rewards that Allah would give is that He would make ease and relief for the person from every difficulty and hardship. Then the Shaykh says, that which is understood from this ayat, yani the mafhum of the ayat, not the mantuq, yani the specific meaning that is understood from these, is what we have mentioned. Now the Shaykh says, and what also may be understood from this, that just as the one who has taqwa of Allah, Allah makes a way out for him, then we can understand likewise that whoever doesn't have taqwa of Allah, that person will fall into difficulties and hardships, and they would not be able to get out of it, and they would not find an escape from it. Whoever doesn't have taqwa of Allah, then they will fall into difficulties and they would not find an escape from it. And then the Shaykh says, the saying of Allah, وَيُرْزِقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَصِبْ, then Allah would give him his sustenance and provisions from where he doesn't imagine, meaning that Allah would send to him his provisions to the muttaqi, the one who has taqwa, in a way that he didn't expect, and in a way that he doesn't even know, and he's not aware where it is coming from. Subhanallah. Then he said, yani at the end of this, that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah easy for him. That means that the one who has taqwa, then Allah would simplify his affairs and make difficulty easy for him. And finally he said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا, and whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah would expiate his sins and Allah would multiply and magnify his reward. He said the meaning of this is that Allah would remove from him al-mahdhur, the thing that any person doesn't want, and he would achieve for him al-matloob, and he would give him the thing that the person wants. He means here, in this verse, there are two, the mention of two things. Al-mahdhur, it is the results of his sins. The thing he doesn't want is to see the results of his sins. And the matloob, it is the ajr, the reward of his good deeds. So here, the Shaykh, he said, rahimahullah, that the one who has taqwa of Allah, Allah would prevent from them that which they hate to see, the consequence of their sins. And he would give them, they want to see, the reward of their good deeds. Then the Shaykh said, وَمِنْهَا, and also from those things that are the fruits or the benefits of Iman, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ الَّذِي هُوَ فَرْعُهُ يُثْمِرُ الْحَيَاةِ الطَّيِّبَةِ فِي هَذَا الدَّارِ وَفِي الدَّارِ الْقَرَارِ. That al-Iman, yani the original Iman, the asl of Iman that is in the heart, the conviction and affirmation of the Tawheed, that Iman, وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ, and the righteous deeds which are its branch, yani the righteous deeds which are a branch of Iman, the branches of Iman. He said that this, the Iman and the Amal al-Salih, it brings forth the fruit, it produces the fruit of al-Hayat al-Tayyiba, the good life. Fi hadha ad-dar, in this world, in the dunya, wa fi ad-dar al-qarar, and in the permanent yani place of residence, that is al-Jannah. That al-Iman wal Amal al-Salih, the fruit that it brings forth is, of its fruits, is al-hayat al-tayyiba, the good life, in this world as well as in the next life. Not only in the next life, but also in this world. The Shaykh, he mentions the proof concerning this. From amongst the proofs concerning this, he said, the saying of Allah, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that whoever does righteous deeds, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whether they are male or female, meaning every person, doesn't matter, male or female, with the condition, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, because yani the condition of Iman has to be there. It is not sufficient just to do that with good deeds, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made as a condition that the person who does good deeds, whether they're male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, but he is a believer, because the deeds, the good deeds, or that which appears to be good from the kuffar, the disbelievers, it is not considered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His justice, He gives them some reward in this world, from that which He gives of the good things of this world, but there's no reward in the permanent place of residence, that is in the next life. So He said that whoever does good deeds, and that person is a believer, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, then we would bring him to life. We would give him a life in this world, the حيات الطيبة, good life. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ, and we will also give them a reward, the reward that is due to them, meaning in the next life. بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, with the best of that which they used to do. Yani not the least of our deeds, but the best of our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes the best of our deeds and rewards us with the best reward from the best of what we can do. Let's reward according to the best of our deeds, not according to the least of them. Here the Shaykh says, and this ayat is in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 97. He said that from the khasais of Iman, from the special characteristics that are particular to Iman, is that it brings forth the fruit of tuma'nina al-qalb, yani tranquility of the heart, of the fruits of Iman that are particular to Iman. And it is not for the disbelievers. They cannot have it because this is particular. Min khasais al-Iman. It is only for the believers. He said, from the khasais of Iman is that it brings forth the fruit of tuma'aninat al-qalb, that it gives the heart tranquility. Warahatahu, and rest. Yani it causes the heart to be at rest. وَقَنَاعَتَهُ بِمَا رَزَقَ اللَّهُ, and that the person would be satisfied with that which Allah has given as provisions. Yani this is from the khasais of Iman. The one who has Iman, who believes sincerely in Allah, then of the fruits of that Iman is that Allah puts tranquility into their heart, and the heart is at rest, and they are satisfied with whatever Allah has provided to them with. As Al-Imam Ash-Shawkani or some of the scholars said, that satisfied with that which Allah has provided them with, even if it is little. And this is of the fruits of Iman, that the true believer, even if they have little, even if they don't have much, Allah gives them satisfaction with that little. And every one of us have to look at ourselves. If we have little, are we satisfied with it, or are we complaining, looking at those who have more? And the Prophet ﷺ said, look at those who have less than you, so that you would not make insignificant the favor or the bounty that Allah has given to you. If you look at what you have and it is little, know that there are those who have less. And if you do as the Prophet ﷺ said, you will see that you have plenty, that Allah has given you much, more than others, and therefore you will be satisfied and be content with whatever Allah has given to you. Likewise, he said, from the fruits or the peculiar or particular characteristics of Iman is that the person would not be attached to, would not be dependent upon, would not be yani reliant upon other than Allah. That is also of the fruits of Iman. That the one who has Iman, he would not be attached to, nor dependent upon other than Allah. But he would depend upon Allah alone. And his heart would be connected to Allah alone and not to other than Allah. As we find today, some of the people whose heart is attached to what they call the awliya of Allah, the saints or their sheikhs or someone from the human beings or something from the creation, more than their heart is attached to Allah. That is because of the weakness and the defect of their Iman. But the one who has true Iman, who believes in Allah correctly and properly, their heart would only be attached to Allah. And that is of the fruits that are particular to Iman. He said, this is Al-Hayat Al-Tayyibah. This is the good life. The good life is tranquility and rest of the heart, and being satisfied with one's provisions, whatever it may be, and having oneself alone. Indeed, the origin or the source of Al-Hayat Al-Tayyibah, the essence of it, it is the rest of the heart and tranquility of the heart, and that the person would not be distracted or bothered by that which distracts and bothers those who do not have al-iman as-sahih. Those who do not have al-iman as-sahih, they are distracted by so many things that cause unrest and distress and worry and grief. But the one who has true iman, if that iman is grown and developed and increased and strengthened and perfected, then they would not be bothered and they would not be distracted by that which distracts those who don't have al-iman as-sahih. The Shaykh also said, not here, but in his tafsir, he said concerning these verses that whoever does righteous deeds, whether they're male or female, and they are a believer, he said, indeed, al-iman, having true faith in Allah, it is a condition. It is a condition for the correct and the acceptance of righteous deeds. They are not correct, nor are they accepted, no matter how good the deed may be, without believing in Allah. It is not accepted by Allah. Allah doesn't have any need of anyone to do good if they are not doing it for His sake. Likewise, he said that not only that, but these things that appear to be al-amal as-salih, righteous deeds, they are not called righteous deeds. They are not called righteous deeds except due to Iman. If the person doesn't have iman, we don't call it righteous deeds. It may look like it, but it is not. Righteous deeds are only called righteous deeds if they have the condition of iman. He said that, for indeed, from that which is necessitated by iman, is that a person have a tasdeeq al-jazm. Yani, that they have a firm conviction. And that firm conviction, it brings forth the fruits of the actions of the body parts, whether the obligatory duties or the commendable duties. So whoever has joined these two things together, al-iman and al-amal al-salih, righteous deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them al-hayat al-tayyibah, the good life. And that good life, he said here in the tafsir, it is the tranquility of the heart, and it is the rest, the soul at rest, and that the person would not even give any attention to those things which distract the heart. They would not even look at those things. They don't even pay attention to those things so that it can bother them, and that Allah would give them provisions from the halal and the tayyib, from that which is lawful and that which is wholesome and good. And He would give it to them from where they do not know, from where they don't imagine. Then he said, in the end of this tafsir of these verses, that Allah would reward them. وَلَنَجِزِيَنَّهُمْ يعني He would reward them after giving them الحياه الطيبه, that He would reward them, meaning in the akhirah, in the next life. That means الحياه الطيبه, according to the Shaykh's interpretation, and that is the tafsir of the majority of the scholars, that الحياه الطيبه, it is in this world. And the other reward, it is وَلَنَجِزِيَنَّهُمْ, we will reward them, meaning in the next life, أَجَرَهُمْ, with their reward, بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, يعني we would give them their reward according to the best of that which they do. And that is, in the next life, he said, all types of pleasures from that which no eye has seen in this world, nor any ear has heard in this world, nor has it even فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً and in the akhirah hasana. Yani in that case, Allah would give them the reward, the hasana, good in this world, and the good in the next life. The reward of Allah, it is hayat al-tayyibah in this world, and another hayat al-tayyibah, yani a good life in the next life. And this is like the saying of Allah, that the believers should supplicate with, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us the hasana, the good things of this world, and the hasana, the good things of the next life, and save us from the fire, the punishment of the fire. It has also been mentioned here, yani in some of the books of tafsir, in the tafsir of al-Tabari, that the hayat al-tayyibah, it means that a person is pleased with, riba, that they have pleasure and they are pleased with that which Allah has apportioned for them of the provisions of this world. They are satisfied with it. And al-qana'ahu, and they also yani are content with it, and that they would not find difficulties in this world, and they would not be worn out from the things of this world. And then he said, وَلَنَجِزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, we reward them with the best, with their reward for the best of what they do. Al-Imam al-Tabari said, this means fil akhirah, in the next life, when they return to Allah, Allah will reward them with the best of their deeds which they used to do in this world. Some of the scholars said that al-hayat al-tayyibah, it is another tafsir of it, that al-hayat al-tayyibah, it means al-jannah. Al-hayat al-tayyibah, it means al-jannah. And this is the minority opinion. It was the opinion of al-Hasan al-Basri and Qatada and Mujahid. And they are of the scholars of the early generations of the Muslims, from the Tabi'een, al-Hasan al-Basri, from the Imam of the Tabi'een, as well as Qatada, who are scholars of tafsir. They held the opinion that in this ayat, al-hayat al-tayyibah, it means al-jannah, and they said so because this world, because of the difficulties that the human being experiences in this world, and it is not free of difficulty or hardship. As for in the next life, it is a life without death, and a person is freed, relieved from poverty, and there's health without sickness, and there's possession of whatever one possesses without it going away, and there's happiness that they would never leave. That is the life in the next world. Therefore they said, al-hayat al-tayyibah, it is in al-jannah. However, the majority of the scholars said, it is in this world. And they explained it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He would give them hayat al-tayyibah, and then He said also that He would reward them with their reward, with the best of that which they have done in this world, meaning in the next life. Therefore they said that these are two different rewards, hayat al-tayyibah in the dunya in this world, and the reward for the best of their deeds would be in the next life. And this is the selected or chosen opinion of Al-Imam al-Tabari, and that the hayat al-tayyibah is in this world, and that the reward that Allah will give for the best of one's deeds is in the next world. And this is the stronger or more correct opinion. The last point that we can discuss, and it is somewhat lengthy, the next point that the Shaykh mentions, Allahu A'lam if we can finish it, but in any case we can start. How much time is remaining? 10 minutes? In any case, we can take part of the next issue that Al-Imam, Al-Shaykh Al-Alama Abdurrahman Al-Sa'adi rahimahullah mentioned, wa minha, and also from the fruits of Al-Iman, he said, anna jami' al-a'mal wal-aqwal innama tasihhu wa takmulu bihasabi ma yaqumu biqalbi sahibiha min al-Iman wal-Ikhlas. And this particular point, it is a principle, a foundation of this section, the fruits of Iman. It is a basic principle. It is one of the foundations that portend than mostly everything else that might be mentioned here. That all of the actions that a person does and all of the sayings or speech that they speak, it would not be correct. It would not be considered to be correct, nor would it be complete or perfect except in accordance with the Iman and the Ikhlas that is in the heart of the person who is doing that deed or saying those words. Yani every action and every speech would only be considered correct, and it would only be perfected or completed in accordance with the Iman and the Ikhlas that is in the heart of that person. Therefore, all of the deeds that one does, however good they may be, and whatever we say of praise of Allah, or supplicating Allah, or reading the Quran, or calling to the good and forbidding the wrong, whatever we do in speech or in actions, it doesn't have any weight, and it is of no benefit except in accordance with Iman. Therefore, of the greatest of the fruits of Iman, and it is a fundamental principle that everything it will be in accordance with the Iman and the Ikhlas of the person who does that deed. Therefore, the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this shart, this condition, yani Iman and Ikhlas. He has mentioned this condition, which is the foundation of every deed. In the likeness of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which he mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 94, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ. That whoever does الصالحات, whoever does any righteous deeds, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, whoever does any righteous deeds, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ, with the condition, yani that he does it, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ, means while he is a believer, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ, not and he is a believer, while he is a believer. Whoever does any good deed while he is a believer, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ, then there would be no rejection of his effort, yani of the deeds that he has done, what he has striven for. وَإِنَّ لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ, and indeed we are writing it down. Yeah, and it is protected and preserved in the record of the deeds of the human being. The Shaykh said that the meaning of فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ, he said it means لَا يُجْهَدُ سَعْيُهُ وَلَا يُضَيَّعُ عَمَلُهُ بَلْ يُضَاعَفُ بِحَسَبِ قُوَّةِ إِيمَانِهِ. That his effort, his sa'y, the effort that he makes to doing good deeds while he is a believer, if he has this condition of Iman, it would never be denied. And his deeds would never be lost. They would not be wasted. On the contrary, they will be multiplied. Yani the reward for his deeds will be multiplied in accordance with the strength of his Iman. Yani the same deed that is done by two different people, it will not be the same. The reward of it will be multiplied for one more or less than the other in accordance with one's Iman. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that which is stated in innumerable places in the Quran, that the person who does a good deed, the reward for it will be tenfold. Or 700-fold, or more than that. Multiples as much as Allah wills. As much as Allah wills. How is it multiplied? It is multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His generosity and His bounty that has no end in accordance with the strength of the iman of the person who does that deed. Yani actions will be increased and they will be rewarded in accordance with one's iman. Likewise, then the Shaykh has also said concerning this ayat in his tafsir, he said that whoever does righteous deeds, that means the deeds which have been legislated by the messengers. Yani not good deeds according to the mind and intellect of the people, but that which has been legislated in the sharia of the messengers, and that which has been encouraged by the kutub, the revelations. This is the meaning of as-salihat, that which has been legislated in the legislation of the prophets and messengers, and that which has been called to and encouraged by the revelations of Allah. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ while he is a believer, meaning in Allah and his messengers, and all that they have come with. In that case, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعِيهِ, then he said, there would be no rejection of his effort, meaning his effort would not be lost, nor would it be invalidated. On the contrary, it would be multiplied for him, أَذَعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Yani many times over, multiplied many times over as much as Allah wills. Then the Shaykh said, concerning this point, he said the saying of Allah, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, that whoever intends or desires the next life, and whoever's intention, their desire, their goal is to reach the reward of Allah in al-akhirah. They are not doing what they are doing in this world for something of the world, but they are doing it for the akhirah, for the next life. Sa'alaha, sa'yaha, and then they strive for the next life with the striving that is necessary, the striving that is due in order to achieve the next life. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and with the condition that he is a believer, then these are those, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا, these are those whose effort would be مَشْكُور, it would be thanked, it would be appreciated, meaning it would be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh doesn't discuss the tafsir of these ayats any more than this. However, in his tafsir, he said that in this ayat, yani before this ayat, Allah talks about those who want the ajila. Man kana yuridu al-ajila. Yani the opposite of those who want the akhirah. Those who want that which is hastened on, that which is quickly passing away, meaning the dunya. Whoever wants this passing world, and he works for it, and he strives for it, and he forgets the beginning and the ending, yani where he came from and where he's going, then Allah will make for him, he will give to him something of the passing things of this world, yani the pleasures or the things of this world. As much as Allah wills, and whatever He wills, yani for whomever He wills, in accordance with that which has been written in the protected or the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz. However, one should know that the things of this world, they are yani things which are غَيْرَ نَافِعٍ وَلَا دَاعٍ لَهُ. Yani they will not be of any real benefit, and they have no permanence. They will not last forever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, He mentions the opposite. That is the ayah that the Shaykh has mentioned, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, that whoever wants the next life, فَرَضِيَهَا, yani he is pleased with it, وَآثَرَهَا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا, and he gave preference to the next life over this world. And he dedicated himself to the things that would earn the reward in the next life, in preference to seeking the dunya, the things of this world, which is the opposite of the people in the world today. Everyone is striving for the things of this world, and they have forgotten about the greater reward that is perfect, the reward in the next life. He said, whoever wants the next life, من أراد الآخرة, he is pleased with it, and he gives preference to it. وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, يعني, and he strives for it in the way that is required, that is, that which is called to by the heavenly books, the revelations of Allah, and that which is called to by al-athar al-nabawiyyah, yani the reports and narrations that have come from the prophets. And then they act in accordance with that to the best of their ability. To the best of their ability as a human being. Whoever does so, wa huwa mu'min, while he is a believer in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers in the last day, then their reward will be thanks, and it will be appreciated, and it will be rewarded. Inshallah, we'll stop here for the adhan, and then after the adhan, just complete this point. And any questions? Bismillah wa salatu wa salam rasulillah. And the comments of the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah here concerning this ayat in his tafsir, the ending of what he said, that those who desire the next life and who strive for it in the way that it should be striven for, and he is a believer, then these, their efforts would be mashkura, meaning it would be maqboola, and it would be accepted. It would be rewarded. Something would be stored up for them. Yani their reward would be stored up for them with their Lord. And in addition to that, the reward that is stored up for them in the next life, they would also receive a portion in this world. Yani of the things of this world. Indeed, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is the one who gives yani plentifully from His bounty in this world and in the next life. Then the Shaykh closes this point here saying that as-sa'i, or the effort striving for the next life, من أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها, يعني striving for the next life in the way that is requested or required, he said it means to do those deeds. هو العمل بكل ما يقرب إليها, يعني it is to act in accordance or to do everything that brings you near to the next life, which yani brings you, makes you approach and get close to the next life. From those deeds have been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The striving for the next life, it means doing those things which make you to get near to Allah, and that is the deeds which Allah has legislated upon the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if these deeds are based upon iman, if they are built upon iman, then the person striving, it would be mashkuran maqboolan mudha'afan. Yani it would be thanked, it would be appreciated, it would be accepted by Allah, and it would be multiplied. And nothing would be lost of it, even that which is equal to an atom's weight or a small ant. This is the end of what we can mention today. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. And quickly to look at the questions. The first question in the handout discuss the statement of the author, al-iman al-kamil prevents one from entering the fire, and even a little iman, and even a little iman, يعني it will prevent a person from remaining in the hellfire forever. The meaning of this is that the Shaykh is saying that al-iman al-kamil, the iman that is rooted in the heart and pronounced on the tongue and then acted upon, its requirements are fulfilled in one's actions, the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the body, the person who has that iman, they would be prevented from entering the fire. They would be prevented from entering the fire at all, as long as they die on a tawheed. And likewise, whoever has any iman, even if it is a little bit, then that person, they might be punished in the fire, but they would not remain in the fire eternally. It would prevent them from al-khulud finnar. The second question, how has the author defined al-iman al-kamil, which prevents one from entering the fire? The Shaykh has said that whoever believes, whoever has the belief or the iman, which leads to obligatory duties, al-wajibat, and to avoid the prohibited things, al-muharramat, then that person would never even enter the fire. And those who don't have perfect iman, but their iman is naqis or defective, then they might enter the fire, but they would never remain in it, but they would come out by the intercession of the prophets or the intercession of those who Allah allows to intercede. Question number 3, mentioned the hadith of al-Imam al-Bukhari, which proves that even the least amount of iman benefits. It is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ reported from Anas in the Sahih al-Bukhari that whoever says La ilaha illallah while having in his heart even the weight of a barley seed, that person of khair, of good, and in the other narration that Al-Imam Bukhari mentioned that they have the weight of a barley seed of iman, then they would come out of the fire, and whoever has iman equal to the weight of a small ant or wheat, a seed of wheat or a grain of wheat, then also they would come out of the fire, and whoever has iman equal of a small ant in the iman equal to the weight of a small ant, then they would also come out of the fire. That means that even if a person has little iman, they would not remain in the fire forever, therefore the iman would benefit them. Question number 4 discussed the author's explanation of Allah's mudafa'ah, defense of the mu'mineen. He said that Allah would defend the believers from every dislike or hateful thing. And He would defend them from the evil of the shayateen from amongst the human beings and the shayateen from amongst the jinn. And that He would protect them from any evil or distasteful or disliked thing befalling them. He would protect them from it befalling them before it afflicts them. Or if it afflicted them, then He would remove it from them, or at least He would reduce it after it has befallen them. Question number 5 mentioned the dua of Yunus alayhi salam and the hadith concerning it. It is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in which he said, "Da'watu akhi Yunus," yani the supplication of my brother Yunus alayhi salam, that no one who has been afflicted would supplicate with it except that Allah would relieve him from the stress that has befallen him. And that supplication is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. That there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except You, O Allah, and You are the one who is perfect, who is free of any imperfections. Indeed, I was from amongst the wrongdoers. Question number 6 mentions some of the fruits of Iman and Taqwa in Surah Al-Talaq, chapter 65, verses 2, 4, and 5. It is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever has taqwa, then Allah will make a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and He will give him provisions from where he didn't expect it or he didn't know where it came from. And He would also, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, He would make his affair easy. And likewise, He said, يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْذَمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا, that He would expiate his sins and multiply or magnify his reward. Question number 7 mentioned the qa'idah, or the rule, which explains why these above verses are not limited to the subject of talaq, divorce. It is the rule in which the scholars said, al-ibra bi'umum al-lafz la bi-khusus al-sabab. Yani that the lesson or the point that is derived from these texts, from the Quran or from the Sunnah, that it is according to the general meaning of the expression or the wording, and not to be limited to the particular or special reason for which the ayat has been revealed. Question number 8 discussed the author's tafsir explanation of al-hayat al-tayyibah, the good life. He said that the good life, it is that which is from the fruits of iman, that a person has tranquility in their heart, and their heart is at rest, and they are satisfied and content with the provisions that Allah has given to them, and that they are not connected or dependent upon, they are not connected to or dependent upon or reliant upon anyone other than Allah. Question number 9 mentioned the other tafsir or explanation, the minority opinion of al-hayat al-tayyiba, yani the opinion of al-Hasan al-Basri and Mujahid and Qatada. It is that al-hayat al-tayyiba, it is the Jannah, it is the life given to the people in the next life. However, the opinion of the majority and the opinion of Imam al-Tabari, and that is the stronger opinion, that al-hayat al-tayyiba, it is the good life that the Shaykh has described in this world. And the Jannah, it is another reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give. Question number 10, discuss, and whoever desires the hereafter and strives for it with the necessary effort due for it, while he is a believer, then such are the ones whose striving shall be appreciated. Yani the meaning of this ayat is that whoever desires the hereafter, yani they are striving for the hereafter, and they strive for it in the way that is necessary, meaning that they act in accordance with that which is required by the prophets, by that which Allah has revealed and that which the Prophet ﷺ has directed them to, doing the deeds that are required in accordance with the Sharia, while he is a mu'min, having iman, then that is the one whose effort would be appreciated, meaning it would be rewarded. It means here that the person strives for the hereafter with the necessary effort, means that they do those deeds in accordance with the Sharia that are necessary in order to earn the next life, and that they have iman. They have to have iman, and then their deeds have to be in accordance with the Sunnah, in accordance with the Sharia. If there are any comments or any questions, perhaps if there are maybe a few moments, we can take 5 minutes to look at any questions. Naam? Meaning, do you mean by tawassul those who do good deeds to get near to Allah, or do you mean those who go to the graves and pray to the dead? Right. The iman of the people who supplicate other than Allah, indeed, it is a clear indication of the defect of their iman, if they have iman at all. Because true iman requires that a person will only offer worship to Allah alone. And whoever offers any act of worship to Allah, supplicating them, hoping in them, having hope in them, or fear of them, and loving them the way that only Allah should be loved, and the way that only Allah, one should have hope in only Allah, and supplicating only Allah, then these are acts of worship, ibadah. The person who engages in these things has fallen into shirk. And shirk nullifies a person's iman. It negates a tawheed, and it takes a person out of Islam. However, we must also say that those people who have done such things while not knowing what is right from wrong, then it is the responsibility of those who know to clarify and to explain in the proper way, with the proper manners, that people might listen in order to make them to understand the error of their action, that they might retract their position and that they might correct themselves. Indeed, those who the proofs have been presented against clearly, and the matter has become clear to them, and they understand the issue, and after understanding it, not still being in doubt, but understanding it, and they insist on doing it, then that person has gone out of Islam. This is kufr and shirk. That takes a person out of Islam, that nullifies the Islam completely. However, those who still might not understand and might be confused, then Allah is the judge of their true situation, and Allah will judge them on Yawm al-Qiyamah according to what He knows is in their heart. And Allah knows the completeness of their situation. Therefore, it is not for us to declare that such a person, if we have argued and debated with them, that we'd say that he is a kafir, he has gone out of Islam. That is a ruling that is not for everyone to make. But it is only for us to say that the person who engages in these things, that this is kufr, that the person who says such things, that is kufr, that takes a person out of Islam, and not to make a ruling on the individuals specifically, unless proofs have clearly been presented to them and they have understood the issue and there's no confusion in the matter and they insist on it, then they are like the other kafirs who will be in the hellfire forever. And Allah knows best.